Take your seats. We're going to be a bit rough and ready tonight. I want to just say that right from the start because I've changed my sermon three times. I was supposed to be speaking last Sunday night and it was going to be a baptismal service. We've moved that to a later date. So I had a baptism sermon up my sleeve and then Steve Ball graciously said he would swap and spoke last week. For 2 weeks I was working on a baptismal sermon. I was really excited about preaching it. Obviously not going to preach that tonight. 2 weeks. Yeah, not 2 hours like my normal ones. 2 weeks this was, yeah. This is the sacrifice I'm making tonight, yeah. So then I had another 10 days or so working on another sermon for tonight. And, you know, both of those were going to be so good, I was going to take notes on myself. That's how good they were going to be. But I just really felt prompted by God a little bit earlier to change completely what I'm going to talk about. I may be way off here, I don't think I am. But I want to talk about the Rock of Ages. And I just had a sense in my spirit tonight as we were worshipping, and as Pastor Chris was saying some things, that there's more than a few of us here tonight who are just in a place in our lives where we need to cling on to the Rock of Ages. Yeah. It's either out of desperation or a desire for intimacy or just difficult circumstances in our life, whatever it is. But we need to cling on to the Rock of Ages. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4 says this: "For they all drank from the miraculous rock that travelled with them, and that rock was Jesus Christ." And in Isaiah 26 verse 4, "Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock." If you've got the authorized version of the Bible in front of you, it says the Rock of Ages. Yeah. And just in case you're of that age where that hymn, the Rock of Ages, stirs something up in you, we're going to end with that tonight and just cling on to that Rock of Ages. I don't know about you, but a few weeks ago when some of the men went down to the Gower for Wild at Heart weekend, we began to get pretty intimate with the Rock. Not just the Rock of Jesus, but the Rock of Bracelet Bay in the Gower. And for some of us, that was a little bit more demanding and a bit more frightening than others. But, you know, when you're clinging on to a rock, either on your way up or on your way down, whichever way you're going, it's pretty scary. But there's something that focuses the mind and the body and the spirit, quite like it's never been before. And you really begin to understand what holding on to the rock means. And the most difficult thing is when you have to let go of the rock. When the instructor says, "You're never going to keep moving if you've got both feet and both hands on that rock. You're going to have to take something off to put it back on." That's scary. That's very scary. And I can remember quite a few years ago now being in Zimbabwe, playing cricket with Christians in Sport and going whitewater rafting on the Zimbabwe. Probably the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. If any of you have whitewater rafted, you'll know that it's a bit of an intense experience. And right at the start of it, it didn't exactly encourage us to see the boat in front of us, the emergency first aid helicopter coming in and lifting the instructor out to safety. And we're on the boat next. And they say that there's two types of swim you can have. There's a short swim where you go over the side and you've still got hold of the rope, and that means in the next sort of minute, couple of minutes, they're going to get you back on. Or there's what they call a long swim. Very soon I discovered what a long swim was. And that's when you're going over the rapids and you hit a rock and the boat flies up in the air and you go out and you haven't got hold of the rope. And you shoot down the water. And they say, just act like a torpedo. Don't swim. Just like that. Cross your arms. It saves the undertaker later. You know. And and you go shooting off. And sure enough, I did. And in I don't know how long, 10 seconds, something like that, I was under the water going along like a torpedo. And then my head bobbed up. And I looked. And I was probably about 100, 120 yards from the boat that I'd left. It was going that quickly. And I found a rock at the side of the stream, the river. And I held onto that rock with all that I did. It was probably wasn't life and death, but it felt like life and death. That if I was going to let go of that rock, then I didn't know what was going to happen. And eventually, a canoeist, one of the safety guys, came and hauled me on, very much like a state of drowning, I guess, just completely gone. But that rock, just for that instant, just for that couple of minutes, was my salvation. Yeah. It saved me. And that picture has always stayed with me. And when we read these words in the Bible about Jesus, the rock, and the rock of ages, the everlasting rock, then for me, it's experiences like that that come to hand. And I want to say to you tonight, I'm going to be honest to say, I'm in that place of desperation, of needing to cling onto the rock, of wanting that intimacy with God. I want to know Jesus like his face is a rock pressed right against mine. That's just the way I'm feeling tonight. And I hope that some of you might be able to identify with that. Turn with me, if you've got a Bible there, to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. We're all there. We haven't got it on the screen because this is all a bit last minute. But I feel okay about preaching this. I've mentioned it to Pastor Chris and he's okay. I've been prayed for by Steve Ball, so, you know, it doesn't get much better than that. I wasn't prayed for by Pastor Chris, but I got the approval of the Father. I was prayed for by the Son. Yeah, I should have had your signs on. We could have done last week's sermon again. If you weren't here last week, that doesn't mean anything to you. Sorry about that. Psalm 62. I wait quietly before God, for my salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I'll never be shaken. So many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They are friendly to my face, but they curse me in their hearts. This is a desperate cry, isn't it? I wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, where I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Incredible words there. You know, I don't know if any of you are ever, this is confession time, how many of you have ever owned a t-shirt with a Christian slogan on it? One of those, you know, put your hands in there. Okay. There have been some interesting ones, that haven't there? I remember a few years ago I bought back for Matt Gregor and Pete Joyce from America, one saying, it was like an Austin Powers imitation one. It said, "Awesome power, the God who saved me," which is a good one. But I had this one when I was a student, which great big letters had rock and roll, rock and roll. So I used to walk around and you'd think I was a bit of a rebel with rock and roll. And then if you look closely, it said, "My feet are on the rock and my name is on the roll." Pretty good, eh? But I don't know why I said that, just to fill in a couple of minutes' time, I guess. I don't know. Let's have a look at Psalm 62, then. What does it tell us? It first of all talks about the rock of my salvation. That word, salvation. You know, just cast your mind back to that time when you didn't really know Jesus. For some of us, that's a long time. Some of you might be here tonight and you haven't got this personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that many of us talk about and experience. But for some of us, it's a long time, perhaps, when we were like that. And we think about that incredible time when as the Bible says, we moved from darkness into light. We moved from a place of uncertainty and of selfishness in our lives, and we moved to a life of God's plans and God's redemption in our life. We moved from somebody who was spiritually dead to being somebody who's spiritually alive, because we met the rock of our salvation. And I just want to remind you of that For some of you tonight, that's an important message. You're sitting there and you don't know Jesus Christ, the rock of your salvation. When I was talking to you about bombing down the Zambezi River in Zimbabwe, one or two of you are thinking, that's a bit like my life, you know. I feel like I'm just lost in the current and don't know really where I'm going, and I'm struggling to keep my head above water. Well, let me tell you that there's a God in heaven who wants you to know his son Jesus as the rock, as that person, that place to cling to, and to know life and security, to move from that place of fragility into a place of strength. The rock of my salvation. And in a world where constantly we're bombarded by half-truth and mistruth and outright lie, that the way to our safety and security lies in anything else but with a relationship with the God who put us here, I want to remind you that there is only one way to be saved. There is only one way for salvation. There is only one way to bring meaning and purpose and hope in your life, life now and life for eternity. And that's through Jesus Christ, who the Bible calls the rock of your salvation. And a bit later tonight, if you've never reached out and clung on to the rock of your salvation, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. And you might not know what words to say or exactly what's going to happen, but you know that you want that security, that salvation. You want to cling on to God with everything that you've got. And here the psalmist, David, as he's writing, talks not just about the God as the rock of his salvation, but the rock of his strength. My fortress where I will not be shaken. That is a great image, isn't it? A fortress where, you know, we have a lot of American visitors in Ignite steadily coming over each year. And one of the things that they love about coming to the UK, and particularly about Wales, they just love to visit castles. Because they haven't got many or any in America. If they have, they're only a couple of hundred years old. So they come here and they just love visiting Caerphilly Castle or Cardiff Castle or wherever it might be. And just seeing those places. So I've been to all the castles with them and just wandering around. And in fact, the pictures of India, the young lad Vinod, who was over here with us last summer, we had a great afternoon with him in Cardiff Castle. And if you visit castles and you go right up to the top and you see what a secure place they are, you know, big stones. And you're in the fortress and you feel like, wow, how could anybody ever attack something like this and win? You feel almost, indestructible, impenetrable. That's the picture that the psalmist is painting here of God, wanting to be our fortress, our strength. My fortress where I will not be shaken. If you're feeling a bit vulnerable tonight, if you're feeling a bit fragile tonight, if you're feeling under attack in many different ways, then remember tonight that God, the rock of your salvation, wants to be your fortress and your strength. Go to him for protection. He's indestructible. He's impenetrable. You will be safe and you will be secure. And then the psalmist goes on to say this: he is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me, the rock of my refuge. I was at a conference yesterday in Welshpool with 80 young people, hand-picked young leaders, emerging leaders from all over Wales, and it was a tremendously encouraging day organised by the Evangelical Alliance. And we had Phil Wall with us, who was for many years the national evangelist for the Salvation Army, now heads up a consultancy business. He said to say hello to you, Chris, actually, sent his regards. And he said that this is a mark of maturity as a Christian. Where do you go to hide? Where's the place that you go when you want to hide? When you need refuge? Where you want to just escape from the world? Now, of course, it might be a physical place. It might be a place inside you. It might be a set of habits. But it's an interesting question, isn't it? Where do you go when life is tough, when it's hard, when you're struggling, when you are, you know, swept away by the current downstream? Where are you trying to hide? I had to sit there for a few minutes and take an honest look at my life and thought, wow. Because I just knew that some of the places that I was hiding weren't the best places to be. And this picture here again from David. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. If you're hiding place, if I've touched a chord by that, and you know that you're mentally, spiritually, physically, whatever it is, when times are difficult and you're hiding, it might be in alcohol, it might be in, you know, TV, might be in shopping, who knows? You know. But let me tell you this. That hiding place is never going to be the real refuge that you need. In fact, it's going to do more damage to you than good. Because there's only one refuge that you need in times of trouble. And that's the rock. The rock. Where no enemy can reach you. Wow. Where no enemy can reach you. Isn't that incredible words there? Where no enemy can reach you. So the rock of our salvation, the rock of our strength, the rock of our refuge, our safe place, our security, the rock of our defense. That's God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who wants you to know him as the rock of your salvation. Let's jump into Matthew's gospel for a while. So look at Matthew 7. Everybody still with me?
Yeah.
Good. But we're never so worried if you weren't. Matthew 7, 24. You know this famous story. If you're here tonight and you're quite young in your faith in Jesus Christ, anybody in church this morning? Just as an aside. Okay. We had a fantastic service this morning, and was it 12 people came into membership of the church, and it was such a brilliant picture of the church, not just of City Temple here, but of the church as it should be. There were 12 people, there were three or four different nations of the world represented. There were some of those people who'd been living in Cardiff for 30 or 40 years. Others had only been here a year or two. There was male and female, young and old. There were some very mature in their faith. There were some young in their faith. I was saying to Pastor Chris beforehand, if he'd have sat down and selected a sort of snapshot of what the church was like, it would have been difficult to get it more varied than we saw this morning. And that's fantastic. But if you're young in your faith and you've only been coming to church for a while, this should be a story that encourages you. It's a very famous story. It reminds us that Jesus the rock is the foundation for our faith. So everything that we learn, everything that we experience, everything that we want to be, our Christian journey is centered and founded and starts upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And here Jesus tells a story using that as a way for building the foundation of a house. So imagine that you're constructing a house. It's your life. You're building a house and you want it to be the best house it can be, the best life that it can be. Here's how to do it, Jesus said. Anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on rock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will fall with a mighty crash. Anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. One of the other projects we're involved with in India, very much my wife's vision, is building this school out there, very close to some of the pictures that you saw on the screen. And many of you here have been generous in helping us raise funds for that. And every time we send some money out there, we get pictures back in. Sometimes little video clips, sometimes pictures of the building going up. And we've sent quite a bit of money so far, and they've spent a fair proportion of the money so far on making sure the foundations are right. We've had these pictures of great big deep holes dug for the length of the school. And then we've seen big rocks go in and concrete pillars and everything like this. And then we've seen that all covered over and smaller stuff being built on the top of it. And the foundations of that school are massive. You will never see them because they're underground. You can see the pictures of them if you want. But it just reminded me of how important foundations are. And you probably, you might have experienced this yourself, but I bet you know people and you just think, oh, man alive, why are you building your house on that foundation, your life? Why are you doing that to yourself? Why are you putting your faith and trust in those things, in those places, in those people? They're building on sand. And we should be people who are wise, who build a house on solid rock. Because we know here, when the winds beat against that house, if we've built on sand, that house is going to fall down. If we've built on the solid rock, then whatever the wind and the weather throws against us, we will stay standing. I want you to hear that tonight. I know, just looking out, I know some of you, life is difficult at the moment for you. I just want to say to you, keep building on the solid rock, and whatever is thrown against you is not going to bring you down. That with God's strength, the presence of Jesus in your life, you will stay strong, because Jesus is the rock of ages and you can build on him. It's also a foundation not just for our lives, it's a foundation for the church. Just jump forward into Matthew 16, verse 18, that's 17 and 18. You are blessed, Simon, son of John, Jesus replied, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. All the powers of hell will not conquer it. Jesus, the rock of ages, is giving Peter, Simon Peter, the name of stone or rock, and saying, I'm going to build my church on you. And that's a reminder to us that with all the other things that we know are important about life in church, that if we don't build on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, then everything else is a waste. Everything else is worthless. Everything else will be fruitless. It might be successful for a time, but it's encouraging, isn't it, that with all the media attention to church dying and Christianity being irrelevant, we see here and we see in churches all over this world that churches that are building on the solid rock of Jesus are flourishing and growing, and not even the gates of hell will actually prevail against those churches. So Jesus, the solid rock, a foundation for our faith, a foundation for the church. And I just want to move into a time now where I want you to receive from the rock. We're going to have a time of ministry. We're going to sing that old hymn in a minute, Rock of Ages. And as we sing that, I'm going to invite you forward to receive from the rock. And just let me, without being too prescriptive, just let me remind you what the Bible says that the rock has for you. First of all, it brings you living water. You want to go to Exodus 17. Exodus 17. Whole paragraph about water from the rock. Verse 5 and 6. The Lord says to Moses, take your shepherd's staff, the one you used when you struck the water of the Nile. I will meet you by the rock at Mount Sinai. Strike the rock and water will come pouring out of it. Then the people will be able to drink. Moses did just as he was told. And as the leaders looked on, water gushed out. Some of you tonight are thirsty. You're dry. You need the life-giving water of God to flow in your life again. You need some cleansing. You need living water to flow through you and clean you. And So when we sing together in a moment, you come forward and our ministry team will help you receive living water from the rock of Jesus Christ. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy for a moment. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, verse 13. He made them ride over the highlands. He let them feast on the crops of the fields. Deuteronomy 32, 13. He nourished them with honey from the rocks, with olive oil from the hard rock. Oil, you know that oil in the Bible was a sign for a symbol of refreshment, of comfort, of anointing, particularly for people who were ill, who were needy, who were physically in discomfort. So if that's what you need to receive from the solid rock tonight, an oil of anointing, an oil of healing, oil of refreshing, then you come forward and receive that from the solid rock. But it also says in that verse, honey. Honey from the cliffs, the cliff rocks, it says here. That sweet sustenance. If you just want to delight in the Lord and just know his sweetness, and taste and see that the Lord is good, and come and receive honey from the rock as we sing together. And finally, last one, Judges 6. Judges 6:21. I can't find the reference now. Okay. Can you see the reference, Steve, to fire? To
fire fled.
Ah, here you go. Thank you. I was looking in the wrong chapter, that was why. I was looking in the wrong book. I was looking in Joshua. No wonder I couldn't find it. When I get a bit more confident with the Bible, I'm going to be so much better. Can't believe I did that. Here we go. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread. And Gideon did this. At the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. Some of you tonight, just fire is a symbol of the intense presence of God, burning bright in our lives. And some of you tonight just need again, thank you, Pastor Steve, that intense presence of God in your life. You just want that fire to burn brighter and stronger, to propel you into the purposes of God. So we're going to sing, Richard, on the band, if you come back and lead us in that. And to just use this opportunity to reach out and grab hold of the rock. Because God has those promises for you. And particularly tonight, if you don't know Jesus, if you're sitting there and you know that your life is adrift, then use this moment to come forward and reach out and cling on to the rock and receive all that God has for you. God wants to save you. He wants you to know his love and his cleansing power and his presence in your life. Let's stand together. Don't delay. Just come out and the ministry team will come to you.
Rock of ages, let me hide myself in thee. Let the flow, we are sinners. see.